Today we're going to read about uncertainty among people like many of us, and about someone who is certain about where he's going and who gladly shows us the way. Well, now follow along as I read from John's Gospel. In verses 1 through 17, we see Jesus humbling himself and washing the disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. Verily, truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And now in verses 18 through 30, there's the mounting drama and confusion surrounding the matter of betrayal. I'm not including all of you in this. I know precisely whom I've selected so as not to interfere with the fulfillment of this scripture. "The one who ate bread at my table turned on his heel against me." I'm telling you all this ahead of time so that when it happens, you will believe that I am who I say I am. Make sure you get this right. Receiving someone I send is the same as receiving me, just as receiving me is the same as receiving the one who sent me. And after he said these things, Jesus became visibly upset, and then he told them why. "One of you is going to betray me." The disciples looked around at one another, wondering who on earth he was talking about. One of the disciples, the one Jesus loved dearly, was reclining against him, his head on his shoulder. And Peter motioned to him to ask who Jesus might be talking about. So being the closest, he said, "Master, who?" And Jesus said, "The one to whom I give this crust of bread after I have dipped it." And then he dipped the crust and gave it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. And as soon as the bread was in his hand, Satan entered him. "What you must do," said Jesus, "do. Do it and get it over with." No one around the supper table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that since Judas was their treasurer, Jesus was telling him to buy what they needed for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Judas, with the piece of bread, left. It was night. Now, as we continue reading, I want you to think about these things. Jesus knows where he's going. And then people are often unclear and at times are unreliable. And then finally, Jesus shows his followers the way they should go. So now we're back to the NIV, beginning in verse 31. "And when he," that's Judas, "when he was gone, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I now tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.' And Simon Peter asked him, 'Lord, where are you going?' Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." People who live uncertainly and with lack of clarity can be glad that Jesus knows where he is going. Jesus has washed their feet. He has fingered the betrayer. And now Judas is left. And Jesus speaks of where he is going. Verse 31, "And when he was gone, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I now tell you, where I am going, you cannot come.'" Jesus is on a grinding, gritty, and a gory path. A path that will lead to glory. You may have noticed, you heard it, the term glory appears five times in verses 31 and 32. Jesus is going the way of glory. He is headed down the path to the cross to gain victory, to gain salvation for a sinful, wrecked world. He is going the way God has planned for the saving of sinners, and it involves being tortured and abused and killed. It involves taking the just, holy wrath of God upon sin and doing this in the place of and for the eternal well-being of sinners like us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it speaks of Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus knows where he's going. He's on the way of obedience to the cross, and then to the Father in heaven, where he will welcome all those whose eternal, glorious life he has made possible by going to the cross. I think John 17, verse 4, summarizes what Jesus is doing, where he's going, and how all of that is connected to glory. He's praying to the Father, and Jesus says, "I glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." The disciples to whom Jesus said these things could never in their wildest imagination have comprehended that today millions and millions of people around the globe will honor and will glorify Jesus for what he has done. And we who are among the millions who worship the Savior of the world, we are stretched, are we not? We are stretched to comprehend the massive, unending glory that is and that will be his in the ages to come, when we will join him in a place that we sometimes refer to as glory. We will be there with him in glory. Glory is his, and glory will unendingly be his. The disciples back then, and we who know Jesus today, we cannot yet go to where Jesus is going. But a big part of the glory is that Jesus will welcome his own into the eternal home that he has gone to prepare for them, for us. And he says that. We read that in John 14, 1 through 3. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. We can be very glad that Jesus knew where he was going, to the cross for us and to heaven to prepare a place for us, and returning for us, that ultimately we may be where he is. And then we will know more fully the reality of that phrase, there's glory all around. Well, people who live with uncertainty and with lack of clarity realize that people are sometimes unclear as to where they are going, and oftentimes people are unreliable. Things can change very rapidly in life, and what may have felt certain may get radically altered. Sometimes changes work out for the best, sometimes not. But one thing for sure, we can never be absolutely sure of where we are going in life. And now Jesus tells his disciples that one of them is going to betray him. And the disciples, it says, the disciples looked around at one another, wondering who on earth he was talking about. Is it you? Is it you? Is it me? We can't always be sure of people, even ourselves. Evidently, they had trusted Judas when they put him in charge of the finances. And yet it turned out that Judas had sold Jesus out, that he had betrayed him, really betrayed all of them, right? And then listen to Peter. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow, but you will follow later. And Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you, Jesus. And Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Verily, truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. Peter's absolute confidence and his sworn allegiance melted away under pressure. Do you know people like that? Co-workers, friends, politicians, salesmen, preachers, people who speak with great confidence, with real assertiveness about where they are going, about their great plans, about what they are going to accomplish for themselves and everyone else. How many of us have been disappointed by people who are so sure of themselves and their agenda? I trust that most of us are absolutely delighted to know that because of Jesus, we can know that we are headed to heaven. All because Jesus knew where he was going and because he did it for us. But if we are honest, there are times when we feel with Thomas, I don't know where it is you're going or where we're going, Jesus. I mean, I'm assured of heaven. But in terms of my everyday realities of getting up and going to work and enjoying the family and having a bit of fun and getting up and going to work, I'm not totally sure of how heaven fits into that whole picture. I have trouble locating it on the map. I have trouble finding it in my calendar and in my awareness or my appreciation of life's experiences. There's just a certain bit of uncertainty about that. I know I'm going, but I don't know all the details, you know? Sometimes I'm a little uncomfortable with that. Well, people who live with uncertainty and with lack of clarity can be glad that Jesus knows where he's going and that he instructs us in the way we should go. Verse 31, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer and you will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. Right now, we cannot go where Jesus has gone. So for now, we are here. And while we wait, we are encouraged by Jesus' promise. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. And I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. As we live here, before the time that Jesus comes, he instructs us in the way we should go. We are to live this life. We are to make this journey called life that we are on in the way of love and in the way of trust. Life may be uncertain, but we know, we can know that this is the way that Jesus would have us to go in this uncertain life. Go the way of love, Jesus says to us who are here now in the in-between time. Verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That speaks of a great testimony, right? The more we love one another, the more people will know that it is Jesus, the Lord, the risen Savior, the one who's coming again, that He is who He is. They'll know that. They'll know that we follow Him by our love for one another. So He says, go the way of love. Jesus had been modeling this, washing their feet, heading willingly to the cross for them, for the world. And we often see examples of this. And we have opportunities all of the time. We'll have opportunities today and tomorrow and all this week to live in love. Love others as you love yourself is what we were taught in the Old Testament and even referenced in the New Testament. But now Jesus amplifies the loving and He says, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus instructs us to live in love as we make this oftentimes uncertain journey. And in many places in the New Testament, we have instruction and encouragement to live in love, to learn a life of love. And in our daily lives, we have regular, continual opportunity to live in love. Jesus also instructs us and invites us to go the way of trust. John 14, 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. As we journey this uncertain way, accompanied by others who at times are unclear and maybe unreliable, we can trust in Jesus who knows where He's going. Jesus who is the way and the truth and the life. Trusting is believing and moving ahead when we don't see all the way, and indeed we may not see very far down a curvy, detoured path in front of us. We may not have all the clarity of detail that our curiosity desires. We may not have step-by-step directions, nor a roadmap, nor a fancy GPS, but we have something far superior to that. We can trust in, and we can walk with the living Lord, Jesus our Savior, who knows the way, who is the way, and who leads us, has promised to lead us day by day, and ultimately to lead us home. Amen. Amen. Some of you might be weary. Some of you might be living with a lot of uncertainty and lack of clarity. Some of you might be thinking, man, do I know what it's like to have been burned? Some of you might sense today that now's the time to say, I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust Jesus because He's the only one that can ultimately be trusted. So I would just invite you today to say to Him, certainly not to me, not to one another, but to say to Him, Jesus, I want to trust you today. For some of you, that may be a first-time thing where you say, I want to trust you today. And some of the rest of you, you might just be reaffirming and saying, I've been doing that, but boy, I'm just saying it again. I want to trust you today. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And I guess if you want to say to Jesus that, starting this morning, I want to trust you. I'm going to trust you. You can raise your hand. You can stand to your feet. You can just do one of those things if you want to say that to Him. And you really don't need to do that either. You just need to say it in your mind and in your heart to Him. So we're going to pray. Jesus, thank you for loving us with an unfailing love. Thank you, Jesus, that you know the way. And not only do you know the way, you are the way. You're the way, and you are the truth. And you, Jesus, are the life. And we thank you for that. We celebrate that today. And today, we choose to trust in you. And we look to you with thanksgiving today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for leading us in life and leading us ultimately to glory. Jesus, in your holy name we pray. Amen.